Greetings, everyone. Thanks for everybody that is here with me, anyone that may be listening online, and to all you that may catch this fellowship teaching audio later on after we post it. Hope you're all having a great day. Today I want to talk to you about an interesting topic. I'm calling it harsh rebuke or hopeful reminder. As we travel, as a full-time street preacher, we're traveling the country, we're out west right now, and we run into many false teachers and people with false heretical theology that needs correction, needs reproving, rebuking, especially when you do that and people push back, defend the lies, the sin, the heresy, corrupt God's word, deceive other people listening to them. And when I correct that, when I make that straight according to God's word, we're often accused of being too harsh, judgmental, but that's not the case. It's clearly not the case according to Scripture, because what I'm going to show you in this teaching that was brought up by what happened just of late, which happens all the time, but it's a good example. There's a time for a harsh rebuke, and there's also a time for hopeful reminding, and I'll share with you what's that all about. So let's explore this. Let's talk about it, because it's going to affect you, saints, as you're out witnessing, doing ministry. Let me give you one of my examples. The other day, I was preaching at a carnal music festival, and I had to rebuke a modern pastor who came up. And he was spewing false doctrine of Calvinism and saying the worldliness was okay. Many other doctrines he was saying were okay. He was prideful. He was arrogant, boasting about his double Bible major college degree. And he wouldn't stop. When I showed him in God's word, tried to entreat him, he rejected Scripture and said that's not what it says. So the talk started out really kind and really calm. I love this man, I care for him. But it quickly went to a rebuke, harsh rebuke, because he kept defending sin, false doctrines, men like John Calvin, sin in the body, etc., etc. So common. So it was loving for me to do a 1 Timothy 5. Paul says, publicly rebuke those who are in sin so others may see and fear. 1 Timothy 5. It was loving and correct and biblical for me to rebuke him and tell him to leave and separate from him till he repents. Then we could help him deeper in the truth. He has a prideful heart issue as he's holding to man-made religion more than Scripture. James 5, 19 through 20 says this, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Did you read that? Go back. I always remind people, have a pencil, piece of paper, write those verses down. Go back, read James 5, 19 through 20. We're saving a soul from death if we save someone from their sin. Everybody thinks sin doesn't matter. As long as you just believe, that simply isn't true. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus and Paul and Peter and all the saints were constantly warring with false teachers, false doctrine, heresy, and rebuking them and it harshly. All right? We always hear patience and long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. It is, but it's not for sin and for false doctrine and people who defend it. Saints, know this. Not one single verse in all of Scripture says that you're to be patient with sin in you or false doctrine in you or sin in others or false doctrine in others. Not one single verse says that. No, we're told to purge it, repent of it, rebuke it, flee from it. Galatians 5:9 says a little bit of leaven, which would be sin, affects the whole loaf. So we hear that all the time. You're not being patient and long-suffering, but the patience and long-suffering is never for sin and false ways. That's for true holy saints that are striving to obey God's word to the best of their ability, not to be willful sinners, keeping false doctrine, and be man-pleasing, flesh-pleasing. So understand that difference, all right? So that modern pastor needed to be rebuked in front of other people, sent on his way. And we'll talk about why we do that. Now let's look at the opposite. So that was a harsh rebuke. Let's look at the opposite of the spectrum. Just today, I met a homeless drifter, big backpack, in 100 degree heat. And he's on his way, he said, to his mom's house in Montana to go meet up with her. And I witnessed the gospel to him. And it turns out he was a believer. And him and I talked about many topics, end times, Bible translation, scripture. We had a nice conversation. He even gave me his email and said, let's stay in touch. I offered to help the man because I care for him. I love him. Now, before I left him, I said, so you're claiming to be a born-again child of God? And he said, yes, I am. Now, his sins, I won't go into them, were obvious, easy to see. Then I asked him, but are you following and obeying Christ, seeking the kingdom of God today with all that you are? He looked at me. I could tell he was broken. He was meek. He was humbled by my question. And he said, honestly, no. No, I am not doing my best for God. And he said, I know I need to do a lot better. I didn't rebuke him. I didn't call him out as a sinful, wicked man who claims God. No, what did he get? I told him that I loved him, that he needs to repent of those ways, that lukewarmness, the sin that he's carrying, and he needs to start to strive for the kingdom of God daily, as it says in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He looked at me, he appreciated the honesty, and I told him God appreciates honesty too, right? And he said, yeah. We thanked each other for the time, for the kindness, for the talk. We parted ways on good terms, ready to communicate on email and see where that goes. That homeless man, unlike that modern pastor, knew he was in sin. I could see his conviction. He admitted his conviction. And he confessed to me before God he needed to do better. He didn't fight back. He wasn't prideful. He didn't defend his sin. He didn't say, oh, you're judging me wrongly, like that modern pastor said. I didn't tell you that. Yeah, he said that. And he took the call to repent and do better, and I hope he goes and he does that. So I just took you from a harsh rebuke to a hopeful reminder, because I reminded that man that Christ died for him, shed his blood for him, that he needs, if he's claiming to be redeemed, he needs to walk as a redeemed holy child of God. So one gets a harsh rebuke, one gets a hopeful reminder. Do you see that? Yeah. Let's read Apostle Paul preaching to the pagans who were willingly listening to him on Mars Hill. Acts 17:27-32. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. See how Paul's encouraging them? For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also as our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver or stone, or graven by art and man's device. These were pagan people with pagan statues. And he says, and that the times of ignorance God winked at this, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Paul's calling them to repentance. Because he has appointed a day, here he gives them a warning, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. And when they had heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. And Paul went on his way. So you notice the difference? Yeah, some of the pagans mocked at the end. Paul was calling them to repentance, telling them God's not far from you, and warning them you're going to be judged. Now, we know that from all the accounts in the New Testament, Paul and Jesus and Peter rebuked false teachers that defended their sin and their false heretical ways. Here, Paul entreats the pagans to come. I entreated that man who claimed to be a believer to come, be washed, be cleansed, be redeemed. That modern pastor got a rebuke telling him he needs to repent and turn from his false ways. Now, I tell you all that to set the stage for one of my favorite parables. Let's read Jesus' words. Luke 18:9-14. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Remember that. They were righteous, they despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Publicans were like the low of the culture. The Pharisee stood and prayed and thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You see the difference between those two men? One man's relying on his righteous religious acts, like going to church, like believing in false man-made doctrine. The other guy knows he's a sinner. He's got a right heart. The religious Pharisee's got a wrong heart. This is what Jesus says in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Did you catch that? So that's the exact scenario I just showed you. That modern pastor boasting about his Bible degrees, lifting up his false doctrine, saying, I'm a pastor in a church, I have people listening to me on Sunday, I can't be wrong, is what he was basically saying. But yet this homeless drifter who says he believes in Christ and follows him, says he's born of Christ, says, I need to be doing a lot better. I know I'm in sin. That's that exact parable. And that's the point of this teaching here. They have a heart issue. One can be redeemed. The other can be redeemed, but he needs to repent of his sin and his wickedness. He even needs to come to see that he needs repentance. The other man already knows that he needs repentance. Amen. This is the sad case we see, of Christianity in America and the world, really, as I talk to people all over the world. They live in sin. They keep false man-made ways. They pamper their flesh in much sin. And they still say they deserve heaven. Why? Because they just believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. They have a wrong, prideful heart. It lacks lowliness. It lacks humbleness. It lacks decreasing itself, like John 3:30, so that Christ can be lifted up. It lacks a desire to leave sin and strive in repentance for holiness unto salvation, because what Christ has done for us, faith and works, right? The parable illustrates perfectly what we see out here every day. It's a battlefield out here. And I want to tell all you men and some of you women that contact me and us, it may be hard for you to grasp what's going on out here. Especially you men, if you haven't done this war out here, contending for the faith once delivered, be careful how you try to correct, critique others until you come out and do it and show as an example, as 1 Peter says. Be an example. Come show me how to do it right. Don't tell me I'm doing it wrong. That's prideful and arrogant right there. Mostly what we see out here is arrogant so-called believers who think God owes them heaven, modern pastors, false teachers, because I'm a teacher, they say. No matter how they live their life, no matter what they believe, no matter how much you show them the scriptures go against their heresy, hey, I go to church every Sunday, I'm going to go to heaven, they say. This is not what the scriptures teach. Then we meet those lowly, downtrodden, homeless people, drunks in the gutter. We meet people that some would say, I don't want to be mean, but I'll just put it worldly, some would say they're a few bricks short of a load, right? That's how people say it. I've heard people say that. They may not be all there, they're saying, in their thinking. But you know what? Those people that you might think don't have a right brain, they have more understanding of who God is, His holiness, how they need to seek after God, than the Pharisee, the false teacher, and the self-righteous churchgoer. Yeah, we see it all the time. We met a man the other day at the music fest. He didn't seem like he was quite normal, let's say. But the man was speaking God's word. The man knew that he had to work on sin in his life. He knew he had to do better. He had already come out of man-made religion. He was riding by on his bicycle And he said, yeah, this is not of God, is it? And Sister Debbie and I looked and we were amazed, again, as we always are, that this man, who people would say is handicapped, could see the righteousness, holiness, truth of God versus this false, wicked, flesh fest that they stick Jesus' name on. It's pretty amazing. The downtrodden, the lowly see it. The prideful, the lifted up, they don't see it. You know, it's true. The pride-filled religious false teachers and pew sitters call the police on us when we come preaching and witnessing. But the lowly in the gutter, the downtrodden in society, they stop, they talk to us. They thank us. They take our information and they go on their way. This is why you hear of the harsh rebuking most often, because we video and we audio that for safety reasons. Oftentimes these people are physically threatening. They're calling the police. We need to protect our witness before the police. You don't hear the lowly, like this man today. I didn't audio record it. These are heartfelt conversations between two men. Sometimes they cry. Sometimes they hug me. Sometimes they give information that you don't want to hear about what they've been through. Sexual abuse and cult abuse, and I'm not going to put that on an audio. So please understand, when you listen to street preaching, when you listen to what I post, you're going to hear a lot more of the rebuking, because that's what I need to warn you about. The false teaching, the arrogance, but all of these heartfelt things that are personal and private. Jesus recorded a few. The Bible records a few. The woman caught in adultery, and Jesus says, go, sin no more. So understand, that's why you hear more about that than the good conversation we have with the lowly and the humble. Let's read Jude 1, 22, 23. How do we do this? Some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Yeah, I hate all false ways. Psalm 119, 104. I love that false teacher, that pastor. I love him as a person. I want him to repent. I hate his false system. Jude covers that well. I want to leave you with this thought in this teaching, what I wanted to bring today. The end goal is redemption in both cases. Think about that. The false teacher comes prideful, preaching false ways, living sinful. He needs a wake-up call. He needs to be redeemed. He needs to repent. He needs a rebuke, kind of a spiritual bucket of water thrown in his face, so that he doesn't forget his confrontation he had with me in front of people. He gets stood down by the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, sliced and diced so he can be opened up and he can be drawn to redemption. That's the goal. The same as the man in the gutter who's a drunk or a drug addict or the harlot. And we say, God wants better for you. Christ died to redeem you. Come, repent. Follow this awesome Savior. And they know they're sinful. They don't need a rebuke over their sin. They need a hand up to the gospel. Two different situations, same end goal, redemption in this mighty Savior. One has a bad heart attitude. The other's heart is better. They both need to repent and come to the Savior, forsaking their sin. Hey, saints, let's all strive, I'm going to close with this, to be like the lowly and the downtrodden, knowing they need to do better, to strive daily, to leave sin in their flesh, to walk in holiness unto God because of what Christ has done via the gospel, his shed blood, death, burial, resurrection, repentance unto him, being born again by the Spirit of God. Holiness and obedience is the fruit, not flesh and false man-made religion and the world's ways, and then strive to endure in that every day. That is the gospel that I preach everywhere I go. I hope this quick message to my brothers and sisters, listening here, listening online, listening later, I hope it explains to you why you hear harsh rebuke, and then you hear stories of heartfelt reminders to come seek and follow after this glorious risen Savior. Hey, we love you all. That's what I got for you. Go study those scriptures. Let me know how it can help you in the faith. You know how to reach us. This audio will be in the fellowship teaching page. There's many more there. I'm trying to put more there. We've been doing so much ministry online, so much ministry over the phone, so much witnessing ministry in person. And you know what? It's a roller coaster of emotions out here. Pray, all you true saints. Because on one hand, you meet someone that's really seeking Christ and you're lifted up. And then you might see them the next day fall and run back to their sin. Or you meet a person that's wicked and out there deceiving people. It's a roller coaster. But you know what keeps us level? Holding on to our Savior. Preaching the gospel. Seeking the kingdom of God. Till we go to be with Him. Or till He comes. I'm going to leave it right there. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We love you all. Till next time. May God be praised.